Our first lesson today comes to us from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I chose to preach from the pulpit this morning because I'm short. As a matter of fact, I discovered how short I was when I saw a picture of myself with my two sons, and they're both 6 foot. It surprised me because I think I'm shrinking. It's a great pleasure to be a guest with you here in worship today at the First Presbyterian Church of Waukesha. Every person from your congregation and from your session, right down to the people who look after the building, have been so warm and welcoming. And although I have not seen much of Waukesha, the little glimpse that I got last night in the darkness was absolutely beautiful. The river that runs through your town is gorgeous. I love water. It brings me great peace. And I always feel like I have to live near water. So seeing that river was wonderful. As you can see from the bulletin, my husband David and I are from California, but we are also originally from Canada. The fact that I am Canadian is why I don't blanch at Wisconsin temperatures. But the fact that I'm from California is why I'm still wearing my sheepskin boots while I'm standing here in your pulpit. So this morning, it is a privilege to offer you a conversation starter. And my hope and prayer is that you find it worth pondering. Our second scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 22, or chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Please hear the word of God this morning. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. May the reading of the word this day bring blessing to us here in this sanctuary. Amen. The Canticle of Simeon, the words spoken by Simeon in praise found in verses 29 to 32 of this passage, are also probably words that have echoed in this very space, for they are known as the Nunc Dimittis, commonly spoken at evening worship services such as Compline, Vespers, or the sublimely named Evensong. And a myriad of composers have set these words to music. And the one version that I particularly like has been noted in the insert to your bulletin. The words that I love from this canticle are, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples." The Canticle of Simeon is one of those jewels of poetry that are scattered throughout our Bible outside the book of Psalms. And while the words themselves are beautiful, that cannot be the only reason it has proved so popular with composers down the ages. I think much has to do with the man who spoke them and with the occasion that caused them to burst forth from his lips. Although God's promises abound in Scripture, this one promise just seems to leap off the page because in but a few verses, in one chapter in the book of Luke, we see a promise of God made, a promise of God waited for, and a promise of God kept through the agency of the Holy Spirit to a righteous and devout man who was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Isn't this what we want the promises of God to look like? And in our secret hearts, don't we all long to be patient and humble and reverent like this ages saint as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled in our own lives? But unfortunately, life is messy. It's not always so patently clear that what has been promised to us, corporately, in the world, and individually, has been fulfilled. That is not because God's promises are in and of themselves lacking. Indeed, God's greatest promise, lived and breathed in human form and walked the earth some 2,000 years ago, and we just finished celebrating the birth of that promise. No, it is because we who are finite see the infinite imperfectly. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now we see through a glass darkly. So ironically, when we hear God say, as in Isaiah, "I am about to do a new thing," we look for the familiar. We look ahead, expecting to see something we have already experienced. and we let the past seem to request God to do something new, but yet letting that word new escape from our thoughts. You know, it very well may be that the promise that we wait for passes us by because we are so busy looking for something that we know, the new, the fresh, the unexpected, slips past us unnoticed. And it also just may be that our long-awaited promise, that promise that is particular to us, that promise that we search for, that promise that we long for in our secret, secret heart of hearts, that long-awaited promise might not be seen by us while we still remain this side of the veil. This last thought occurred to me time and time again as I taught in Bible Study Fellowship. It is an interdenominational, international Bible study, which some of you may have been familiar with. And I was a children's leader in that Bible Study Fellowship for over 10 years, first in Michigan and then again in Washington. I was a children's leader for over 10 years, and I taught in the preschool classes with the little ones, the ones who were from 2 years of age to 6 years of age. And they were so precious, so wondering, so full of joy, and so interested and wide-eyed over tales like the tale of Jonah and the whale. And I and my fellow teachers recognized, and sometimes wistfully, I must admit, that unlike our counterparts who were upstairs working with the adults, we might not see the fruits of our labors until we reached the heavenly kingdom. It has been a while since I was in Bible Study Fellowship, so I could possibly walk past one of my young promises on the street, maybe on the street here in Waukesha, now grown to 20 years or so, and not even recognize them or know how the nights I spent practicing the story of Jonah and the whale to get it just right impacted their lives or did not impact their lives at all. That is not something that I can possibly know. So I hold my expectations of how God is going to act in my life and answer my own fervent prayers very lightly. Besides, if you had told me years ago that instead of speaking before a judge as a lawyer, I would now be speaking before you, a congregation, I probably would have looked at you as if you had two heads. But I have since learned that with God, I have to expect the unexpected. Does it mean that since I have learned to expect the unexpected, I am no longer surprised by God? Quite to the contrary, I am constantly surprised by God, so that in an odd way, whatever happens to be next in the process of being called has me giddy with excitement. But I also know that waiting on the unknown, looking to a future that cannot be predicted by the past, can make us all feel uncomfortable. As the world moves at a faster and faster pace, and every time we turn on our TV or open the paper or click on our computer browser button, it seems like the world is spiraling out of control. But was it really ever in our control to begin with? I suppose that is why I love the Canticle of Simeon so much. In such a few words, it offers up the sweetness of a promise kept by God. So I can read these words, I can listen to them set to music, or I can gaze at a rendering of the moment and sink into the knowledge that God always keeps his promises the way one sinks into a comfy chair at the end of a very long day. We don't really need to have the Canticle of Simeon to know for a certainty that God keeps his promises. But because we are human, and because we are sometimes a little frail, it is sure nice to have it in front of us in black and white, or in color, or in music. So today, I invite you to remember the Song of Simeon, to rest easy. To rest easy even when you are uneasy. To rest easy even when the future is cloudy. To rest easy even when you know that the results might not come in your own lifetime. In fact, to simply rest easy. Rest easy in the knowledge that God has got your back. Amen.